Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Well, we are starting a new series today, and I'm really glad to be doing this. We're starting, you saw in the bulletin, called Jesus Creed, and it is a, Jesus Creed really is Jesus' answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment, right? Which is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So the next 4 to 6 weeks or so, we're going to be taking a deep dive into what Jesus called the most important thing, right? And I am very delighted to have Ruth come and introduce the series to us and also get us started. So Ruth, if you've not heard Ruth already, she speaks regularly at SCF, and she's one of our deacons and community group leaders and a good friend. Ruth.
Thank you. Hey. Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for making it on this working Sunday. I'm really glad that you could be here so that we could worship together. Thank you, Josiah, hooking me up there. As we get started, I just want you to take a minute and just look around at this building. Isn't it beautiful? Yes. We've been back in this building for almost 18 months now, and it doesn't get old. We are so happy to be back in this building because if you were here during COVID times, you know that we were out of this building for almost four years where we could not meet here. Now, I want you just to take a minute and just look at each other. Just look around at each other. Yeah. Because we, the people, are the church. We are the church with the capital C. We are God's people, and even COVID can't stop God's people from being God's people. Am I right? Yeah. However, we found out from not having a building or a location or a venue that it's really hard to gather when there's no place to gather. And the result was that we were scattered all throughout the city. Some people in Minhang, some people in Xuhui, some people in Pudong, some people in Jing'an, Changning, just all over the place. And it's really hard to be a gathered people without a place to gather. And for those almost 4 years, we felt like we were in exile. Now, we kept going on, but we kept longing for that time when we could be back together. And that happened in November 2023. Praise the Lord. And every Sunday, we are just so happy to be back in this beautiful building. And it's even more beautiful than ever since they renovated it. And we are just so thankful. But when we came back into this building, we realized as a leadership team that we needed to just ask God this question, what now? What now? What do you want for us in this season? And so there was a group of leaders that got together and fasted and prayed and just discerned God's will for our body in this new season. And God said a lot of things, but one thing was very clear and just kind of incorporated it all, and that was discover your first love. It wasn't even a rebuke. It was like an invitation for us just to draw near to God, to rediscover and put things first, what really matters in our lives. And so for the past year, we've been doing that. I don't know if you remember last fall, we also did a 21 days of prayer where we pressed into our first love. And the leadership team of this church also just really just continued to look more and more in defining what does this mean for us as a body. And we defined it as three things: fresh love, rooted love, and resolute love. And fresh love is more of that passion, that relationship with God. It means prayer and worship. Rooted love, on the other hand, is maturity, meaning going deeper, discipleship, and growth, and being in the Word. And the last kind of love that we wanted to focus on was resolute love, where we really show an intentionality. And this is stretching and serving and being on mission. So today, Pastor Dale mentioned that we are beginning this community group campaign. It's called 40 Days Living in the Jesus Creed, where we are focusing specifically on this theme of loving God and loving others. And so this is going to be going on for the next 6 weeks. The next five sermons after this will all be focused on this topic. And if you are part of a community group, the community groups will all be doing this series as well, including there's an ebook with 40 days of devotionals in this topic. And yeah, and this is always a great time. I love this time because it means that we as a body are united. We're, you know, we might have community groups across the city, but we're all doing the same thing at the same time. And there's unity in that. If you're not part of a community group, this is a great time to join one. It makes such a big difference to be part of a community group. When we first joined this church, we've been in this church about 23 years. And when we first joined this church, we didn't join a community group. We had some good reasons going on. But after about a year, we decided, okay, we just need to join one. And it was like we never looked back, because we became part of a family. And now we have given birth and raised our children and launched our children off into the world. And that community group has been our family and my kids' family through that whole journey. So thank you for joining us on this journey. We're going to keep on going on and leaning into what God might have for us during this next 6 weeks. And so today we're going to look at this thing that Scott McKnight calls the Jesus Creed. Well, Jesus calls it the greatest commandment. And I like to call it our central calling. It's a daily reminder of our confession of faith and our commitment to faithful action. Sometimes we make life too complicated, and we do that with our spirituality as well. It just becomes so complicated, so big, so overwhelming that we don't even know where to start because we feel like it's impossible for us. But really, it is this simple. And this is the single most important thing that you can do today, tomorrow, and the next day for the rest of your life. And it doesn't matter if you are a brand new follower of Jesus or if you have been following Jesus for your entire life, because what we are going to be talking about today and through the next 6 weeks, it's like a one-size-fits-all calling for each of us. And the reason is because we keep growing, and it keeps growing us and our capacity to love God and to love others. Today, we're going to focus on 3 points: hearing, loving God, and loving others. So let's go ahead and dig in. And this is from Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. The most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So we're going to start with hearing. So Jesus starts off by saying, "Hear, O Israel." And he's quoting what's known as the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we're going to flip back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, is it the fifth book of the Bible? Fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. And this is almost word for word here. I'm going to read it again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And this is literally known as the Shema because it's the Hebrew word for hear. So it literally means hear, but it means to listen and obey. And it means pay attention. So when Jesus is saying, "Hear, O Israel," he's wanting you to get your attention. And actually, Jews prayed this prayer every day, at least two times a day. And so Jesus would have been praying this prayer. And let's just continue reading in Deuteronomy for a few verses after that. Picking up with verse 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." There's a real sense here that God is inviting us to not only stop, but to listen, to meditate on him, and to incorporate this into our lives in some very practical ways. Also, to keep it visible for your children. I love that those kids were in here today. We don't mind a little bit of noise because that is the future generation. And we want our kids to be part of our spiritual practice, both here in this church, but also in our homes. We need to incorporate our spiritual practices in ways that our kids see us practicing it, but also that they are invited to practice with us, because we're living it out, but we're also teaching them how to live it out for future generations. Now, I always bring a prop. Who is waiting? Who's been waiting for my prop? Yeah, okay. Here's this. I also have it, hopefully, on the screen. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I bought this on Taobao, made in China. It's a mezuzah. All right. And this is how Jewish people observe the Shema. It literally has this verse from Deuteronomy on it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And they would affix it to their door frames so that every time they go in and out of the door, they can see it and remember to say the Shema. Now, sometimes you'll see, maybe in movies or TVs, or if you have Jewish friends, they'll be like high-fiving the door frame as they walk by. And some of them kiss it like this. Yeah. And it's a reminder. It's a reminder. Now, this is not a magical charm. Okay? There's no magic in this. It doesn't protect us. It's not an idol. We don't worship this. This is only a reminder for us to focus on God. So neuroscience tells us that the more senses that we engage something, anything, that the deeper its impact and the deeper we engage it in our minds. And so that's what making something like this, even a visual prop, that you see, you remember this more than what I'm saying, right? You remember the props because seeing it is powerful. Touching it is powerful. Speaking it is powerful. Hearing it is powerful. And maybe that's why worship is so powerful for us, because we're engaging in a whole body way. We're engaging God in that way, and it makes a deep impact on us. So I would encourage you to create habits in your lives, disciplines, practices, things that will remind you to focus on God. And I would encourage you to think in terms of daily, weekly, and yearly practices that remind us. The truth is that we live in such a busy, 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 busy city. And I don't know about you, but my busyness is my number one enemy for living on task, because I'm just sometimes feel just constantly pulled in different directions to meet different people's needs other than living how I want to live. And I need to be reminded, and I need to have practices that I can fall back on in those times to keep me on track of what is really important in my life. Now, one thing our family has done, which has worked very well for us, but maybe something else works better for you, and I would just invite you to find your own way, what works for you in your family or in your context or in your business or in your school, whatever that looks like. For us, we would read the Bible every night after dinner with our kids, one chapter at a time. When our kids were little, we did the children's Bible. When they were older, we just read one chapter at a time until we had read the whole thing, and then we started over again. And we would ask questions and engage with it and pray afterwards. And so our kids now have grown up and moved on, and they've read the Bible through several times. They've been able to, you know, grapple with some of these challenging texts together with us as a family, and it's just kept us all on track. So I would encourage you, maybe daily devotions, maybe a daily devotional book, daily talking with your kids. Your kids really need to see it at home. You can't just depend on Sunday school for their spiritual walks. It has to be at home. Weekly attending church, so important, so important. To weekly worship together with the body of Christ. Also, monthly celebrating communion. This is powerful. And next week is the first Sunday of the month, and we together will be celebrating communion. Now, this is something that Jesus has said, you know, do this to remember me. And so we want to remember, and we want to take that opportunity. You know, nothing magical happens when we take the bread and the wine, but what happens is in our hearts that we remember, we reflect, and we keep it center what Jesus has done for us by pouring out his body and his blood on our behalf. The Shema calls us to stop, to hear, to remember, and to realign. And it gives us the opportunity to declare that he is the one true God and that we belong to him. We are his people. And if every day, if we can just acknowledge that he is God, that he is God and that we belong to him, that can change our perspective on how we're living our lives. Because suddenly, I'm not just living my life and it doesn't matter. Suddenly, oh, there's one true God. He's my God. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And it changes our perspective and centers us around him. Now, that was the first thing, the hearing, that hearing and stopping and remembering and centering and declaring on him. The second point today is on loving God. Let's pick up with the Shema again in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, love is an abstract word. I love my husband, I love my kids, and I love coffee. You know, that's three different meanings. And maybe love means something different to you. That's okay, but this verse gives us a standard, and it helps make it a little bit more concrete. I just want to say thank you to the Bible Project, which is awesome. I would really recommend the Bible Project. They helped me understand what these words mean in Hebrew. So we're going to do a little bit of a Hebrew lesson on these words that are underlined and bolded up there. I just want to say, I noticed that in the 40 days Jesus Creed devotional, he does a word study on the Greek words from Mark, so the meanings are a little bit different. But I know that we are a body that understands the differences in languages, and we go in and out of English and Chinese and other languages, and we can understand how words don't mean exactly the same in each different language. So, just so we're all on the same page, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and Jesus spoke Aramaic, a totally another language. And so, it's kind of like maybe he spoke Shanghainese, but the New Testament was written in Putonghua. So, there you go. But anyway, so that's why there's some differences and why we want to go back and look at the original languages and what they mean. So the first thing we're going to read is the word love in Hebrew, and that's from the word ahava, and it means affection and care, and this is feeling and action together. So it's love is not just a feeling, it's the action. But it can't just be cold-hearted obligation either, okay? I can love my kids and do things for my kids and take care of them, and I don't always feel that fuzzy, warm feeling. That's okay, but at some point, there is a fuzzy, warm, affectionate feeling. And they both go hand in hand. Okay, the next word we're going to look at, we're going to look at these three things, the heart, soul, and strength. So the first one is heart in Hebrew, which is lev. And there's not a separate word in Hebrew for mind. So we're just looking at the heart, and there's emotions, but it also incorporates our thoughts and our mind. It looks at our desires and our choices. The second word is soul, which is in Hebrew is nefesh, which literally means throat. But in the Bible, it's used to mean the whole person, their whole existence. So their physical being, but also their spiritual being. In Hebrew, is a very holistic language, and so it's very inclusive of the whole person. It doesn't separate people into bodies and souls, which is a Greek idea, but we don't have a soul, we are a soul, if that makes sense. So often in English, we say, like, if there's a plane crash and there were 10 souls on board, we mean 10 people. And that's actually really close to the meaning, because I am a soul. I am a physical being and a spiritual being all in one. And that's who I am. All right. The third word is strength from Ma'od. And this is a fun word because it means very. And, you know, and it can even go Ma'od, Ma'od, like your very, very, your muchness, you know, your feichangness. I don't know. But this literally means your strength and your power and your resources and your wealth and your mind all in one. So everything that you bring can bring to the table, that is your ma'od. Now, when we look at all three of these words, it gives us new insight into what it means to love God. And it means to love him with everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we feel, everything that we think, everything that we are, our whole body and our whole spirit. And it's a very holistic way to love God. Now, we were talking about this with my community group yesterday because we started this series, and we took a little survey. Which one is easier, to love God or to love others? And it was unanimous across the room. Everybody thought, oh, it's easier to love God than it is to love others. And this is so true. But one person said, yeah, but I want to love God, and I like the idea of loving God, and I, you know, God is good and gracious, but it's hard. I don't really follow through all the time. It's hard to follow through, and that is so true, that we can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm very glad that we're starting this series the week after Easter, because without a resurrected Jesus, we don't have that hope. But because we have a resurrected Jesus, we have hope. And it means the resurrection power is living in us, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to be able to love God with all that we are. Now, as we flip back from Deuteronomy back to the New Testament in Mark, we're going to see that Jesus appears to add two things to this already wonderful Shema, all right? And the first thing that he adds is the word mind. So in the New Testament, it doesn't say three things, it says four things. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is not a big change, it's just that in Hebrew, mind is already covered by the other things. But in Greek, the mind is separate. And it's also like this elevated and idealized pursuit for rationality and logic that existed in Greek culture. So just even looking at worldview, how does that affect how we think, how we view even the difference between emotions and reason, and how we view giving all of ourselves to God? Looking at our culture and our language really does make a difference. Now, the second thing that Jesus does is that he highlights a second command as part of the greatest commandment. He says in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So this is not a new idea, because Jesus is also quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from Leviticus 19. But I don't know about you, this passage kind of bugs me and has always bugged me because the grammar is a little wonky. It's first talking about there's the most important, the one greatest commandment, but really, there's two, but really, it's one. And I always kind of struggled with, well, Jesus, is it one or is it two? Can you help me out here? And I'm going to tell you, I've got a second prop. here. Can you see this? Do you know what this is? What? It's a one kwai? Yeah, it's a coin. It's a coin. Yeah, so good. You know what cash still looks like. So maybe this will be a historical relic sometime soon. Yeah, but it's like a coin. It's one coin, and on one side, there's a picture of a one, and on the back side, there's a picture of a, is it a peony, a flower? There's another picture, but it's still one side. It's still one thing that we're looking at. And so loving God is like one side of the coin, but loving others is the other side of the greatest commandment. We cannot have one without the other. Now, incidentally, if you look at the Ten Commandments, there's, okay, Ten Commandments, but the first four deal directly with loving God. And this is what we call our vertical relationship with God, how we love God. And the last six of the great of the commandments deal with loving our neighbors, loving each other. And that's how we love horizontally. And we need both of these things, this vertical and this horizontal relationship, to live out our Christian lives the way God intended it. So let me ask you this. Why must we love others in order to love God? And why must we love God in order to be able to love others? Why are these two things connected? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever known anyone who claimed to love God but didn't act very lovingly? Have you? Yeah. If you haven't, maybe you haven't spent much time on Facebook or Twitter, because there's some really mean people out there who've got scriptures in their bios, and they think trashing everybody is the way that they can promote God. And I've got a spoiler alert for you. You want to do something to love God? Love your neighbor. Let me say that again. You want to love God? You have to love your neighbor. Now, if we look back at Isaiah chapter 58, I'm just going to refer quickly to this, but it describes a time when the nation of Israel, they were fasting and praying, and it literally says they were eager for God, and they were eager to know his ways, and they were eager for him to draw near to them. But God said, I don't want anything to do with you because you are exploiting the vulnerable and you're picking fights with people. That is not the fasting I desire. You can have all the zeal, you can have all the fervor, but God will not accept your worship if you do not love the people around you. Why do you think that is? Just for a minute, why do you think it is that important to God? Genesis tells us, Genesis chapter 1, that God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And this is a term in Latin called the Imago Dei, and it means that every person has value because they are made in the image of God. And they are so valuable. They are so valuable that Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave his life for each and every one of those people. That's how valuable they are. Now, when you begin to understand that, it will revolutionize the way you look at people. People who are different from you, people who are from different countries and different nationalities, different ethnicities, maybe who are richer or poorer or disabled or something, or young or old, you will begin to see the value in people because they are made in the image of God and because Jesus died for them. Throughout the Bible, we see that God identifies with people. And usually it's vulnerable people or people that have been committed injustice upon, but there are different groups of people that God identifies with throughout the Bible. Sometimes he is showing special care for them, sometimes he's advocating for them, but sometimes he is straight up saying that if you do something on the behalf of these people, you are doing it directly unto him. And that is what becomes true worship. There are many, many examples in the Bible. I would just challenge you as you're reading to start looking. Who is God identifying with? Who is he advocating for? And start looking and seeing why. We're going to read one very simple example and then move on. And this is from Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. There's a direct relationship on how you treat people who are less than and how it reflects on God. God is taking it personally, how you treat them. If you treat them poorly, he's taking it badly. If you treat them well, he's honored and he's worshiped. This is a different way to say it, and I love how the Bible Project says it, and it's so simple. But they say it like this: I show my love for God by how I treat the people around me. It's that simple. That is what it means to love God. We show our love by how we treat the people around us. Jesus says it like this in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It is connected. It is two sides of the coin. If we want to love God with all that we are, we must love one another. And again, the only way that this is possible is through the Holy Spirit. Because I know I fall short, and I can't do it in my own strength. And I know the struggle is real for each one of us in this room, because the love that we receive from the Father flows through us to those around us, despite our shortcomings. Again, I'm so glad that we're talking about this 1 week after Easter, because without that resurrection power, without the hope that he is the resurrected king, there's no way we could do this. There's just no way but to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to be receiving his love and allowing that to flow through us. And our capacity to love keeps on growing. It keeps on growing. None of us are there yet. We're still on this journey. But today, we want to lean into him. Our church and our leadership, we've been leaning into him for the last year. We've been seeking him, and his word to us was, discover your first love. And we want to keep that front and center today. And loving him is also about loving one another. So my question for you as we close is this: what is Jesus inviting you into today? What is Jesus inviting you into? Maybe you're feeling moved to declare that he is the one true God, that Jesus is Lord, and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Today is a great day to do that. Let's declare that today. Another question I have for you is, how will you make room to remember, to stop, to listen, to declare that he is Lord of your life, and to love him with all of that you are, and ask for his mercy and grace and ability to love those around us? Where do you want the Holy Spirit to empower you today? Let's ask him. Now, as we close, Scott McKnight, has the author of this book, he has invited us to start reciting this Jesus Creed, the greatest commandment, twice a day. I would invite you to put it on a little card, put it on a sticky note, put it somewhere that's visible for you. Maybe you can put it on your home screen of your phone, wherever, whatever works for you. This is in English, but you can put it in your native language. And I want to start in challenging you to say this twice a day and see if it helps you redirect your thoughts and your energy and your attention towards God. And as we close, we actually started the service saying this, but as we close, I would like to say it again. So I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to say this prayer today to close our time together. Okay, so let's say this together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Amen.